rwtby.com.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Condon. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. What a nice day out there today. We're actually going to hit 40 degrees. Wow, what a treat that is. What a winter, huh? Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. Coming up on the program this morning, we're going to talk about the Vermont State Colleges system here in just a moment. We're going to talk about the institutions, pretty much everything excluding the University of Vermont. So we would welcome your phone calls throughout our program this morning as well. You can join us at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. Toll free, you can reach us at 877-291-8255. Coming up in our second hour, we'll begin by heading down to Washington. Actually, I think we're going to be joined by Bob Ney again today, so we'll be heading out to Ohio to get our report. And I would imagine item number one, this letter from 47 Republican senators to the government of Iran, in essence saying that any sort of deal that's reached could be scuttled after Obama leaves office. I have to say, it's a real head shaker to me, so we'll find out what our White House crew has to say about it. And again, your phone calls welcome on the program at 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. I want to thank our friends at the Vermont Coffee Company for being a longtime sponsor on the program and being the fuel that fires the Mark Johnson Show. And occasionally, when I remember, we actually give the product out to guests, too. Sorry, I forgot this morning. And so we would encourage you to pick up a bag or two of the product. It's a great excuse for you to pick up the phone and call a neighbor and invite them on over. And you can pick up Vermont Coffee Company coffee. Shaw's and Hannaford's carry it. You can always pick it up at your favorite independent grocery store. And you can always purchase it online. That's at VermontCoffeeCompany.com. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Jeb Spaulding. He is the chancellor of the Vermont State Colleges system, and he's joining us here live in our studios. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Mark, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to come on. It has been a great winter. I mean, for somebody that still likes winter, this was a good one. I mean, if you were into snowmobiling or you're into some kind of winter activities, it lasted a long time.
Yeah. If you were a popsicle, it was awesome too, right?
Well, I mean, it's winter.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather have, in January and February and March, I'd rather have it cold and snowy than rainy and then frozen ice. I mean, then you still can't get outside and play golf or something in January and February, so you may as well get the winter sports.
Yeah, last winter was the year of the ice. That was just nasty. I would actually take this winter, the cold over the ice anytime, too.
The snow was great. Still
so
is.
Do you wake up in the morning, do you ever look in the mirror and say, "Good morning, Chancellor"? I mean, what a great title.
No, and most people don't know what a chancellor is.
What is it? All right, so what's a chancellor?
Well,
what does it mean?
First of all, it's a term, a title that's been in higher education for a long time, and other areas too, but it basically means you're overseeing a number of institutions, and the chancellor acts essentially as the chief executive officer of the Vermont State Colleges system. So the presidents of the various colleges, we have five colleges, including the Community College of Vermont, which has 12 locations. And I heard on the radio this morning when Rosemary Distel was talking about the Vermont Academy of Science and Technology that Vermont Tech has two campuses, but the chancellor oversees the five presidents that run those institutions and takes care of the budget and answers to the board and represents the colleges. So you're, essentially the CEO.
And how many students in the system currently?
There are about 11,000 students. Half of those are in Community College of Vermont, so that's the single biggest institution we have in terms of enrollment.
Okay.
And, 85% of our students are Vermonters, so the state colleges are really the access point for post-secondary education for most Vermonters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my goals is to actually let the rest of Vermonters know what a good thing they have in their state colleges system. And we're very proud of the fact that, half of our students are the first students in their family to go to college. But too often people overlook the state college system and say, gee, I want to go somewhere else, and don't realize the diversity and strength of the academic programs we do have. And, I want to get that word out.
Why do people overlook it?
I just think I don't know. It's been gone that way for a long time. Too many people think, if I can't get in somewhere else, I'll go to the state colleges. But they don't realize that, for example, at Linden State College, we have the number 6 ranked electronic journalism program in the country. And there are 25 people working at ESPN right now that graduated from Lyndon State College. And at Johnson State College, we have a program that's funded largely by the National Science Foundation that allows students to go in biology or environmental sciences with a $10,000 a year scholarship, and also present at professional conferences. So, you know, all the colleges have some really strong programs, and often people don't realize that.
Yeah, I never heard of the electronic journalism program up at Lyndon State. How come
I never heard of that?
I never heard. I mean, I know about there's plenty of guys who become weather people and all that kind of thing, but
no,
wow.
I didn't, you know, you're a little younger than I am, but one of my classmates at UVM, Tim Lewis,
Channel
3.
Yeah, sure.
He's a professor at Lyndon. And they have it's a great program.
Yeah,
and they have a number of programs like that. You mentioned the meteorology program, that's strong there. They have a outdoor recreation management, a music industry program that's got people from all over the place. As a matter of fact, at Lyndon, over 40% of the students are out-of-staters, and they're paying out-of-state tuition to come for one of those programs at Lyndon State College. And if Vermonters haven't been down to Castleton recently, What David Walk has done at Castleton is it's essentially a small university down there, and it has just had an international film festival. It's got stuff going on all the time. Football team. I mean, I was listening to last weekend. They had the women's hockey, women's basketball, men's hockey, ski team in the NCAA finals. Their first lacrosse game. I mean, there's something happening there all the time. It's a beautiful campus. And, you know, I think it's fine if people, you know, my kids went to 12 years of public schools and they wanted to go somewhere else. And that's fine. And if you can afford to do that and pay out-of-state tuition somewhere, God bless you. But if you're doing it for educational reasons, you ought to take a second look at the state colleges.
Let's go to Burlington. Ann, good morning.
Hi. Mary Bemis is an outstanding authority in the spa field. She's won many awards. And she's a graduate of Johnson State College.
We have a number of great graduates. And I'm very proud of the programs we have at all five of the state colleges. And as I was saying to Mark, often people don't realize it. The faculty are very strong. Just for example, people sometimes say, well, you know, you go to a liberal arts college and you can't get a job. And certainly there are no guarantees. And what you make of college is largely what you put into it. If you want to be a teacher, and I know there's, you know, be probably some downsizing that's going on as the student enrollment goes down, but a lot of our teaching workforce is around retirement age, so there's certainly going to be opportunities. They got a great program at Johnson State College, and when you graduate after 4 years, you have a certificate for both regular and special education, so you're ready to go. And that's just one of the many programs.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. We're talking with Jeb Spalding, the chancellor of the Vermont State College System. Total budget we're talking about here is what?
About $180 million.
And how much comes from the state?
Yeah, about $25 million. So this is one of the challenges we have, and I don't want to, you know, sound like I'm complaining, because the state has some big budgetary challenges. But back in the 1980s, roughly half of the revenues that supported the state college system came from the state. Now you're down to like 17%. And, you know, what that's done is put a lot of pressure on tuition. And, you know, we already have fairly high tuitions, and we're sensitive to not loading up our students with debt. So that's a challenge. And, you know, really the way that the colleges were able to sort of buffer the declining state support over the last few decades was through increased enrollment, and that's really, you know, one of the things I've learned is very, very obvious in the first 2 months in the job is it's all about the number of students you have. And if you're largely tuition supported, which we are, I wish we weren't, but we are, and that's a fact of life. If you're getting more students, hey, you're doing okay. But we face the same demographic headwinds that K-12 has. The pool of graduating seniors is getting smaller. So in recent years, the enrollment's been going down. So if you have a combination of declining state support and declining enrollment, there's only two more things you can do, and that is increase tuition and lower your costs. And, you know, we're largely people-driven, and we have facilities, buildings. And, you know, we're doing what we can there, but we want to make sure that we don't do something that's going to actually hurt the product so that we you know, can't attract students. And, you know, we're not in the arms race that some of these big places have, where they have multiple swimming pools and tanning rooms and who knows what they have. But we need to make sure that we have quality facilities and programs for our students. So it is a challenge. I have to say, Mark, and it's a big-time challenge, and people probably heard on the news the other day that, you know, another college, the college that had a name at least in Virginia, Sweetbriar College, had a 90-some-odd million-dollar endowment, has decided to close its doors at the end of this year. That'll be the third liberal arts college in Virginia in 2 years to close their doors, and that's going to happen around the country. So, you know, it does keep me up at night a little bit, but, you know, we have some opportunities here that I think give us some hope, and that is three things. One, there are thousands of Vermont students that graduated from high school this past year that are not in higher education right now. And we have a great graduation rate in Vermont compared to other states from high school, but the continuation rate onto college is not where it should be. So if we can, together as a state, working with the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation and others, you know, work to help families understand that there is financial aid available, and that post-secondary education of some sort is more critical than ever, we can convert more of the declining high school population to go to college, and we can, we are, all of our state colleges are doing this, but are trying to up their game to provide support, because oftentimes when, you know, as I mentioned, half of our students are the first in their family to go to college.
Right.
They don't have the culture. They don't understand what's involved. Oftentimes it's a bigger financial challenge for them. So we need to have a support system that allows our students to succeed and complete their education once we get them. And the final one is where I started. I think a lot of Vermonters are overlooking what the state colleges have to offer. And I do believe, as you know, it used to be pretty affordable to go to a Virginia public institution, mm-hmm. and they didn't really charge that much out of state. But actually, they've done what Vermont did over three decades in terms of reducing state support in the matter of like less than a decade. So all of a sudden, it's very expensive to go there as an out-of-stater. So mm-hmm. I think more Vermonters, if we have a product, are going to start looking within. And that's an opportunity as well. So, you know, I'm very encouraged about the future, and we have our challenges, but a lot of opportunities too.
How did the state funding go from 50 down to the 17%? Did the system grow so much that the state support looked smaller by comparison, or is it real true apples to apples comparison?
Well, it's both, and it's a good thing you mentioned that, because I mean, if there is state, you know, significant state support, you always had a significant amount coming from tuition too, and if your enrollment's going up and the state support doesn't keep up, the percentage coming from the state will decline somewhat. But it's really just that the state has not kept up. And we, you know, the governor's proposal for next year, which is level funding with this year, will be the same amount of actual dollars that we got in 2008. Okay? So, and that's not atypical from what's been going on over the decades. They just have not. Whereas, you know, K-12 education and our human services system and even our general government that's part of a collective bargaining agreement that has increases every year has gone up for decades. Higher education has tended to basically, you know, get very occasional modest increases or no increases. And, you know, that's what's happening now. This will be the third year in a row with no increase. And, you know, we had some decreases when we had the Great Recession. And so we're basically where we were in 2008 in actual dollars. And of course we have contracts and we have insurance, and it's a challenge. And you know, and frankly, all of our colleges, Mark, are taking action. I mean, there's like, I had this factoid at my tip of my tongue, but I haven't looked at it for a week or two, but there's something like a couple of hundred fewer people working at our state colleges now than there were a year ago. And all the colleges are having to tighten their belt, just the way, same way that businesses in the state is having to do. And, you know, I actually really want to say something to the parents and students out there that are thinking of the state colleges or wherever they're going to college. I believe it's not a sign of weakness when the colleges have to make spending decisions and reduce their budgets, but a sign of strength. It is those colleges that are not courageous enough to deal with their budgetary issues that are jeopardizing the future of those institutions. And we're not going to do that. We're going to take action in a proactive stance, which will allow those state colleges, all five of them, to continue on into the future. And, you know, there's been talk for decades about should we close one of the campuses. And, you know, certainly it's not my decision alone. That would be a decision that the Board of Trustees would be involved in and ultimately the legislature. But it's certainly nothing that's on my radar screen. As I like to say to people, like, everything else is on my radar screen. One of the things we do in the chancellor's office is a lot of the back office work so that we don't have to do it five times on the colleges. So we deal with their payables. We deal with a lot of the HR, a lot of the IT work, legal work. And we're looking for more ways that where we can collaborate together. And I think, you know, we need to look at whether we can get some administrative efficiencies between the five colleges, but I'm not actually thinking that we need to close any of the campuses. And actually, if we do what I said in the beginning in terms of or in the middle there about increasing recruitment, increasing retention, and actually letting people know what we have to offer so that we have more of the people that are not looking at the state colleges look at them and consider them and choose them, that all the campuses should be viable in the future.
So you're really looking to kind of grow your way out of this financial problem, the increase enrollment. Is that the way out?
It is the way out. And, you know, yes, that's true. But we are not on a growth, you know, kind of binge. We want to make sure that we use conservative projections on what enrollment can be in the short run. But over time, I think that is the only way that we can actually maintain our viability.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that enrollment question was a problem Burlington College ran into. It seems like they really kind of overguessed.
Yep. And we've had some of that. I mean, you know, there's no question about that. I don't really know the reasons why, going back, where some of the projections on enrollment didn't materialize, and it put the colleges in a pretty difficult situation. I think the presidents have gotten that message, and we're trying to budget conservatively. But again, over time, you know, if you're not getting much of an increase in the state, and I'm hopeful to help the legislature and the governor and future legislatures and governors understand the importance of having adequate state support. But, you know, I don't think that's a game changer for us. That's not going to be enough to deal with the financial challenges we have. It has to be attracting more students and retaining them.
244-1777, toll-free 1-877-291-8255. Who is the mindless person in the Shumlin administration who proposed a flat amount for the state colleges? Was that you by any chance?
Well, I was the Secretary of Administration and proud to be the Secretary. And one of my responsibilities was developing a budget for the governor. And, you know, we did it together. And I'm not looking back, but I was involved with that. And I wear a different hat now, and my hat is to look out for the best interests of the Vermont State Colleges. And, you know, when I look at, the myriad problems the General Assembly has, but also hear the words about how we recognize that if our students are going to have opportunities in the future, they're going to need education beyond high school. They're concerned about the amount of debt and the cost of getting that education. It seems like, we need to connect our words and our actions. And, we're not going in and asking for, getting back to the 1980s anytime soon. And when I talk to students, I had one of the fun things about the job is there's an energy on the campuses. And last Friday, the Student Government Association, the leaders from all the colleges wanted to get together with the chancellor. And, you know, one of the first questions was, well, when are we going to get back to the funding level of the 1980s? And I said, you know, definitely not in my lifetime. And I'm not sure it'll ever be in your lifetime either. I hope, though, we can get some modest increases and do the kind of things I talked about, which will ensure a vital future. But I think we need to be realistic about what we're asking from the legislature. And I think reversing the trend of disinvestment is important.
Let's go to Richmond. Patty, good morning. You're on the air with Jeb Spaulding, the Vermont State College's chancellor.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hi. I'm wondering, does the state college system offer programs for adult learners? It seems like, you know, the aging population is huge, and pulling in people that, you know, are going to live another 20 years and perhaps, you know, would be interested in education would be something
yes.
that could pull some, you know, students in.
That's a great question, Patty, and the answer to that is yes. And actually, I'm as you may know, I'm relatively new on the job, been on about 2 months. One of the things I learned so far is that actually Vermonters that are over 65 years old can actually take state college courses for free. I think it's up to two a year or something like that. So you should look into that. Certainly, Community College of Vermont has always dealt with adult learners, and they are actually starting to actually work with people that are realizing there are going to be more people that are looking for a second or third career and are going to need some tune-up. And so that might not be a degree program, but courses. And actually, another thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, for example, Community College of Vermont offers over 300 online courses, and they're a little different than those ones you hear about on the or read about on the national level, where there might be, you know, 100,000 students from around the world that are all taking the course at the same time, and nothing wrong with those, but it's not exactly a personal experience. the 300 online courses through CCV actually still have like 12 to 15 students in the class. So it's online, but there's plenty of interaction with professors. And, you know, all of our colleges offer programs for veterans and reduced tuition for veterans. And Linden State College has been, I think, ranked as one of the top 20 veterans-friendly colleges in the country. And so all the colleges do offer programs for the older population, but I think it's also an area that we realize we have to up our game in, too.
Yeah, and also I wanted to add, I went to Johnson for a short period in the 70s, and in my whole adult lifetime, I've never figured out why people wouldn't use the state college system. And I know there's a lot of prestige and perhaps broader ranges of academics at, you know, UVM or St. Mike's and stuff, but to end up with such a debt load, I think is nuts.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that oftentimes we have students that actually thought for prestige or other reasons they wanted to go somewhere else without naming anybody in particular. Sometimes it's out of state, sometimes it's in state. And then they come to the state colleges. And what I'm hoping to do is say, hey, maybe you ought to look at us first and not after, you know, you've thought of everything else and tried something else. Because there's more to offer, the more that we have to offer than you might have thought. And you know, increasingly, I think that's going to resonate with people. We are also evolving towards a system and not just five isolated colleges. If you take a course in calculus at any one of the five state colleges, you can transfer without any problem to any of the other five state colleges. Mm-hmm. If you're a student at Linden State College, for example, or at Castleton, quite far away from, let's say, Burlington, you can take any one of the 300 online courses at CCV and it transfers automatically. Mark, you're in the State House sometimes, and you've met the young man who's Shap Smith, the Speaker Smith's assistant there, Dylan.
Yeah.
Well, Dylan is a good example. He got a little bit of a non-traditional student, and he got his associate's degree at Community College of Vermont, and then his bachelor's at Johnson. We're trying to make it easy for people to get into those pathways. And I guess I should also, we talked about, you know, I in my former position, we didn't have a lot of money to increase funding. But I want to thank the governor and the legislature for creating some new programs like the dual enrollment program.
Right.
Which really is, I think, one of the more powerful ways that we can actually increase the college continuation rate. The statistics around the country are pretty clear that if you can get high school students, particularly high school students that might not have had a family culture of going on to higher education, to take a course during their high school career at a college or through a college, that the chances that they're going to actually go on to college are significantly higher. So that's a big move that the legislature and governor put in place. We now have the early college program, you know, on the program earlier on WDEV. There was an interview with Rosemary Distel at Vermont Tech on the VAST program.
Yeah.
But that concept has been expanded statewide so that we have students that are finishing their last year of high school and their first year of college. There are 20 of them up at Johnson State College this year. And that is a way to actually make our state dollars go further. And that's something else that...
And those families, too.
Oh, it's yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're looking at an associate's degree, you basically cut it in half.
Right.
You know, and 25% for a bachelor's. So
right.
that's a great program. And I think, you know, if we don't have a whole lot more money as a state, we need to look for ways that we can actually make the dollars go further. And there are other ways that we're going to be talking about over the coming years to do just that.
Speaking of which, is it a zero-sum game with UVM, I mean, and the state colleges? Is it the same pool of money?
They're separate appropriations, but yeah, it's basically, we have three public higher education entities, and that would be the Vermont State Colleges, the University of Vermont, and the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. And the history of higher education funding in Vermont, compared to like a California, let's say, that basically had really high state support used to.
Right.
You know, it's deteriorated.
But,
and you could basically go to any one of this, you know, you could be Bill Gates' son and still go to, for free, to a university or college in California. In Vermont, we never had that kind of money. So the idea was we were going to actually have a lot of student support available based on need and not much institutional support for the university and state colleges. Where we've devolved to is our student support is pretty mediocre as well. They haven't kept up with that. But VSAC gets an appropriation. The state colleges get an appropriation, and UVM gets an appropriation. I do think there are a number of legislators that are looking at are those splits right over time? Do they still make sense? You know, the state colleges, we enroll more Vermonters than all of the other. We have a lot of, I always like to say we have more higher education institutions in Vermont than any other state on a per capita basis. And I'm talking about, you know, not UVM, but I'm talking about St. Michael, Champlain, Sterling, Marlborough, Middlebury. You know, they're all over the place. Norwich,
right.
We could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
But the state college system enrolls more Vermonters than all of those other colleges and universities together. And, you know, if you actually look at the amount of money we get compared to, let's say, the university, it's about a third less. And, the people are going to ask those questions. Hey, okay, we're spending, if you add it all up for those three entities, it's close to $90 million. Is the split appropriate? Should we have some criteria that are sort of outcomes-based criteria that, like the number of degrees to Vermonters or what your retention rate is. And I think those kind of things probably will be considered by the legislature in the future. I actually see the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation and the university as partners in the effort of providing higher education. So, you know, there's competition for sure. There's competition within the state college system, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to be
right.
able to avoid that. But there's also, I think, ways that we can help each other out. And as a matter of fact, I am told that the largest feeder school to the University of Vermont is the Community College of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And people come out of the community college, sometimes with an associate's degree, sometimes with 1 year, and transfer into the university, and their credits are accepted. That's a partnership, and I think we can do even more together. And, you know, we really do need to make sure that we're not inappropriately duplicating programs and services that we don't need to. You can't always do that. If I just look at the state colleges, some people say, well, why do you have an education program, you know, training teachers, educating future teachers at Castleton and Johnson and Linden? Why don't you just have it in one place? And a couple things about that. Number one, from a business perspective, if the colleges thought they weren't going to be able to, you know, fill enough the classes with enough students, they would rethink whether they should be offering them.
Mm-hmm.
So they would do that. But it is important to realize that for the state colleges, there is a geographic piece of this. And a good percentage of our students actually live at home and are day students, and thereby getting their college education at a much reduced cost, so they're not paying the room and board at the colleges. They often work at home.
Right.
And so if you wanted to be if you're, you know, thinking about being a teacher from the Northeast Kingdom, it's a lot less expensive for you to go to Linden than it would be to go be a boarder at Castleton. So that's one of the factors. And, you know, the other thing is these are all outside of Chittenden County, except for community college. It's all over the state. And they are major employers in their region. So, for example, you know, we realize that every time you lose 50 jobs in the Northeast Kingdom, it's a hit. But, you know, Linden State College employs 300 people and has, like, you know, 1,400 or 1,500 students. So the economic impact on those regions is big, too.
What's can you give me just a rough idea, 4 years of college at UVM versus 4 years of college at a state college? How much am I roughly going to save?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't want to avoid that, so I'll get to it. But the important piece that everybody realizes is that the sticker price is not what most people pay. So like 80% of the students at the state college system receive financial aid of some sort. And, you know, we're trying to...
Tom Sullivan would say the same thing at UVM.
Actually, there's no question in my mind that UVM has resources that we don't have to offset their higher tuition. So, you know, if you looked at how much more it would cost over 4 years... I'm going to say probably $20,000, but that's the sticker price. And, you know, each individual could be something completely different.
Let's go to Montpelier. Good morning, Eudora.
Good morning. I'm asking that man, what about training on the job? What about getting, security bonds when there's a war? Thank you.
All right. On the job training, she's asking about.
Right. And thanks for that question. It's a good question. It's another reason why I'm in my own mind thinking that we are a system with multiple entry points and multiple services and programs that we provide. And both Vermont Technical College and CCV do a lot of on-the-job training, special tailored programs for individual employers. And, you know, we recognize that sometimes it's not an associate's degree. It might be a credential that you need. It might be just, a few courses that will help you as an individual pursue a career that is of interest. It also might be working with specific employers. And, you know, the governor's proposal that was also talked about this morning with Vermont Tech is a perfect example of that, where it's a partnership with businesses for students that will actually go through their first year of Vermont Technical College for free on the VAST program. And it's free to the student. You know, nothing's free out there, but it's paid for by the school and by the homeschool, the state, and the college. Then the employer gives them an internship in the summer. Then the employer pays the first semester of the second year, and then the Vermont Strong Scholars Program has a remission in the final semester of tuition as you work for the employer. So that's one where we actually need to actually find, one, an employer that wants to make that commitment, and two, students that want to make that commitment. But we are all about on-the-job training. Look, if you need higher education, you should check out the Vermont State Colleges. And if it's you needing a credential or some selected courses, or if it's you wanting to go to play football at an in-state college, or if you want to be an accountant, we can definitely get you ready to take the CPA exam. We've got it all.
You can, promote the fact that you have football compared to some state institutions.
It's great. Have you been down there? It's spectacular. It's a nice,
Castleton?
Nice facility.
It's a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Can you describe to me a little bit more, though, this decline in enrollment, and how long can you continue on that trend without getting into trouble here?
Well, we have some reserves, and there are five individual colleges, and you know we're in the budget season right now. But I'm hoping that the colleges. I mean, they as I mentioned earlier, Mark, they are having to do some adjustments on the expense side, and we are doing that. We can only go so far, but I think we have a number of years that we could go until we really get into a serious bind. But, you know, every year that goes by, that if you're operating in the red, that's not a good thing. And, there used to be kind of I actually found it. It was like a written policy that basically said, hey, every college is supposed to operate in the black. This was a policy that came out of the chancellor's office. And if you don't, you might not be there next year, Mr.
Wow.
President. So we're not quite there at this point. But, you know, we have an expectation that the individual colleges will do what it takes to make sure that they're running in the black.
That'll motivate you when you get up in the morning. Are all the colleges suffering the same sort of decline? Or one any more than the other? Any less than the other, I guess?
Well, they all are facing the same headwinds. Some of them, and over time, things vary. At the moment, the one that's having the biggest enrollment challenges has been Vermont Technical College, which is counterintuitive because, you know, you think, hey, here's a place they did the most recent sort of audit came out and showed that 96% of their students were employed or in further education within a number of months. So, you know, you can get a two-year degree. You know, you can go through the VAS program and get a two-year degree for 1 year of cost. And, you know, I think what we need to do is make sure we get the word out. That's the one that has had the most recent challenges. But there's no question in my mind that Vermont Tech is, like, too important for Vermont's future to not be able to turn that around.
It just seems inevitable, though, Jeb. I mean, you got these declining numbers. I mean, the numbers in K through 12, I mean, are dramatic, like 20% less. I mean, you know them inside and out because you were living them in your old job. I just don't see how the Vermont State College system can maintain in the future given that. I mean, unless you really recruit a lot of people out of state, or we magically have a lot of people moving into Vermont with kids.
No, I go back to what I said earlier. We have thousands of Vermonters that graduated from high school last spring that are not in post-secondary education. Not all of them need to be, but, you know, the research is pretty clear that, you know, if you, you know, don't get anything beyond a high school degree, your economic prospects are severely limited. And, you know, I know some people say, well, you know, Bill Gates dropped out of wherever he dropped out of, or, you know, Einstein didn't go to college. And that's sort of like saying, well, okay, if I'm, you know, really, I'm the, you know, the star of my basketball team in high school, then I'm going to be like LeBron James. I mean, yeah, there are exceptions to the rule. But for most of us mere mortals, getting some post-secondary education and an actual degree is going to make a big difference in our lifetimes. So, you know, I think there is a significant opportunity for us to convert more of the high school graduating classes to going on to post-secondary education. And if they do, I think that group that's not going now is most likely to go to one of the Vermont State Colleges. That's big. You know, our retention rates aren't where they should be. It's almost like energy conservation being the cheapest way to, you know, deal with your power needs and so forth. If we can just keep more of the students that are coming and then dropping out and not have them drop out, that's big. And I really do believe a lot of students that are going out of state and other places right now, as they see, well, okay, this is an investment I'm making, and is it worth it to pay out-of-state tuition, or should I have a look at one of the Vermont State Colleges, that is enough to offset the demographics?
Untapped resource, it sounds like, is what you're looking for. No one would mistake you with LeBron. Let's head to South Carolina. Whit, how you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Mark, and I guess you Vermonters are looking forward to, as I would say if I were now a Vermonter, maple sugarin.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say to your guest, you know, I'm pushing almost 70 years old. In 1964, I graduated from Burlington High School. Public education turned me off for years. Teachers were really disinterested. They didn't really want to teach. They just wanted a job. And so I sort of flew my way through Burlington High School, and I think I graduated wanting to be an engineer with basically a C average. And I'll tell you, I'm wondering, I guess I had to get a C average to graduate. Now, I know that people that come on the radio or any other place and they go back and they try to tell you about their experiences like decades ago, it's
right.
Probably not
yeah.
relevant. But in any event, VTC would have been my first choice because I wanted to be an engineer, or at least a technician. And I couldn't afford it. I mean, my mom had four kids. they all were in school. She was a single mom. Where was I going to get the money to do that? And I'll tell you what I did. I work part-time at WVMT as a transmitter technician every other week out in Colchester, and I think I saved up maybe $600, but I did not get the right kinds of counseling. I thought VTC was, hey, that's a farmer's school or something. I don't want to go there. So I applied to a school out in Wisconsin, Wisconsin State, way out in the northern part of the state. Went out there, blew my whole wad that had taken me years to, basically I didn't graduate there. I graduated from UVM years later, but I didn't get good grades there either, and I was away from home. I had the plane fare and everything else. I think we really ought to get on the circuit here and do what Germany does and offer people 2 years of community post-secondary education for free. And I mean, I don't know why we can't do that,
okay.
Tim. Let
me get our guests to comment. Thank you.
Well, President Obama has proposed just that, 2 years of free community college. And, you know, as somebody that has some interest in that, wouldn't that be wonderful for the Community College of Vermont and for Vermonters? There's a lot in the details there. If everybody could get a free, I think it's a good thing, by the way, but some of the details, like, okay, what happens to the four-year colleges if everybody can get 2 years for free, and then they can transfer those credits to a four-year college? And, you know, it's not as easy in some other states as it is here in Vermont to have the courses transfer, but basically the courses that you take, the college courses, not a prep course, but when you take a CCV college course, it transfers to the University of Vermont or any one of the state colleges. So, we would really need to sort of say, okay, well, what would be the impact on the rest of the system, and does it really make sense for people that are, you know, let's say higher income folks to be able to, go to your first 2 years of college for free. Having said that, I think it's a recognition that in this country, an associate's degree level or higher is something that really every U.S. citizen and Vermonter should have. So, you know, to the extent it gets the conversation going, if it were to come to fruition, I think it'd be a great thing. It would probably cause some dislocations. And I think when you sort of get into the details of it, it'll probably not be something that takes place right away. But, you know, the gentleman Witt that called from South Carolina, I mean, you know, what if, I don't know what to say if he was, you know, not a great student at Burlington High School, but I was going to say, I mean, we didn't have the Vermont Academy of Science and Technology at VTC back then, but we do now, where you could get your last year of high school and your first year of an associate's degree at VTC at no cost to the student and family. So we've made some progress, and we need to look for more.
You know, it sounds like what you could really benefit from, maybe you're already doing it. Do you go and do presentations in the schools? I mean, Burlington High School, I would think you go in there senior or whatever, maybe junior year or whatever, and really say, hey, here's what we got.
We do some of that, and we're going to do more of that.
Yeah.
You know, we do some, but not enough.
Yeah.
And I think my vision is that, you know, we have five individual colleges all with their own niches, and you know, Vermont Tech is one. I don't need to run through for the audience all of them, but they all have their unique character, and we want to maintain that, and we want our presidents there to be entrepreneurial, and we want to offer them flexibility, but we also need to gather strength from being part of a system. And you know, for a while the system has not done regional guidance counselor breakfast where all of the colleges come together and show what we have to offer and support each other. I think that's a loss, and we've already discussed it. We'll be starting those again, and we're going to be going to the Vermont Business Expo as a system this time, not as like individual booths, so that we gather. Yes, we want to promote our individuality, but two, have people recognize what we offer to them as a system.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're talking the way out of this is by growing the enrollment and getting the really tapping Vermonters, that sounds like it's the way to do it. One of the ideas you had, this idea of this candy tax, I just want to briefly talk about this, is would that, I remember in discussion with somebody about soda, that you could not put the sales tax on soda, that you'd have to do it this way that people are talking about doing it, because it would somehow violate this internet, this
streamline tax.
Would Candy do that too?
I am 97% sure it would not violate streamline. I've looked
it's
into
not
it.
Food, so, quote unquote,
so,
food.
29. So really, for the radio audience, I really want to distinguish something here. This is not the same thing as the sugary sweet beverage tax,
right,
which is like a very hefty amount of money put on sugar sweet beverages that is intended to lower the actual consumption of those. What I had laid out was, hey, 29 states simply apply the regular sales tax to candy.
Right.
And most people don't even know that it's not subject to the sales tax. And if 29 other states can do it, I would think we could probably figure it out too. So, the only reason I did that was, look, I don't want to, promote anything other than to say, oftentimes when we'd get into the Appropriations Committee, they said, we'd like to help you, but, where do you want us to get the money from? I mean, we just don't have the money. So I said, look, okay, I understand that. But, 29 other states tax candy. They're not putting a special surcharge. They're just applying our existing sales tax to candy. If you did that, that would be enough to provide a 3% increase for UVM, the state colleges, and VSAC. So if you say you want to help us, it isn't that hard.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think you're going to get from the legislature this year?
I think the odds makers would probably tell you we're going to get level funding. And, I'm hopeful to do better than that, but we need to be realistic, too.
Let's take one more call, let you go. We go to Randolph Center. Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Morning. I just have a quick question. It's in terms of basic skills or skills you get out of high school and then pass on. And I'm wondering if the state colleges have, basic skills testing as well as the course they took at CCV or high school before they go into a surveying or a structures course. And then some of the courses at VTC, you have to do more than what you do in the structures, for example, if you're going into engineering at UVM. And I'm wondering what basic skills tests there are to transfer to UVM from any one of the state colleges.
Okay. Or, all right, thanks.
Basically, that's a question.
Yeah, right. That's a good question.
And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that I have the answer, so I want to be clear on that. I still have some stuff to learn. There's no question.
We always do, Jeb.
We always do what?
Have stuff to learn.
Right, we always do. So there's no question that a lot of the students that are graduating from high school and coming into the system are lacking in some of their basic skills. And this is a systemic issue that everybody has a role in addressing. I have to say, having had two kids that went through 12 years of public schools in Montpelier, they got a great education, and most of the students that are coming out of our high schools do. But as we're saying, look, more of our students need to go on to post-secondary education. The stakes are higher. There are more people coming out with inadequate skills and going to post-secondary education, and we do assess them. I'm not sure if it's the same at every one of the colleges and how it's done, and I need to learn that. And sometimes people have to take remedial courses before they can get into the college courses. And as far as transfer to the University of Vermont, I believe that all of the courses that are college-level courses that are taken will transfer. It depends on the major you're going into, whether they transfer for that major or would be more of a general education opportunity and not count as a specific course for the major.
Information on the Vermont State College System, what's the best place to find it on the web?
Yeah, just go to VSC, like Vermont State Colleges, vsc.edu. And we can link you up to all of the individual colleges and all the programs, and you get a lot of information right there.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Jeb Spaulding is the Chancellor of the Vermont State Colleges. We'll take a short break. We'll be back after this.
Looking to buy a car, motorcycle, or boat?